ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Text 74. Ateham nitya yadyukto
Ateham nitya yadyukto
Japan avahita puman
Japan avahita puman
Achiraj chaveya apnoti
Achiraj chaveya apnoti
Vasudeva Parajanaha
Vasudeva Parajanaha
Atedham Nitya Dayukto
Atedham Nitya Dayukto
Japan Avahita Puman
Japan Avahita Puman
Achirashaya Apnoti
Achirashaya Apnoti
Vasudeva Parajanaha
Vasudeva Parajanaha
Ata,
Ata
das,
das,
idam,
idam,
this,
this
nityada,
nityada,
regularly,
regularly
yukta,
yukta,
with great attention,
with great attention
japan,
japan,
by murmuring,
by murmuring
avahita,
avahita,
full attentive,
fully attentive
puman,
puman,
a person,
a person.
Achiryat.
Achiryat.
Without delay.
Without delay.
Shreya.
Shreya.
Auspiciousness.
Auspiciousness.
Apnoti.
Apnoti.
Achieves.
Achieves.
Vasudeva Parajanaha.
Vasudeva Parajanaha.
One who is a devotee of Lord Krishna.
One who is a devotee of Lord Krishna.
So, translation and purport by His Divine Grace of Prabhupada. A devotee of Lord Krishna, whose mind is always absorbed in Him, who with great attention and reverence chants the stotras, prayers, will achieve the greatest perfection in life without delay. Purport. Perfection means becoming a devotee of Lord Krishna. As stated in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.28, Vasudeva Para Veda Vasudeva Para Makha. The ultimate goal of life is Vasudeva, or Krishna. Any devotee of Lord Krishna can attain all perfection, material gains, and liberation simply by offering prayers to Him. There are many varieties of prayers to the Lord, chanted by great sages and personalities such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Lord Krishna is known as Shiva, Virichi, Natu, Nutam, Bhagavatam 11.5.33. Shiva means Lord Shiva, and Virishni means Lord Brahma. Both of these demigods are engaged in offering prayers to Lord Vasudeva, Krishna. If we follow in the footsteps of such great personalities and become devotees of Lord Krishna, our lives will become successful. Unfortunately, we do not know the secret. Nate vidu svarta katim hi vishnum. They do not know that the real interest and the highest perfection of life is to worship Lord Vishnu, Krishna. Bhagavatam 7.5.31. It is impossible to become satisfied by trying to adjust the external energy. Without being a devotee of Lord Krishna, one can only be baffled and confused. To save living entities from such a calamity, Lord Krishna points out in Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Jamanamante, Gyanavam Mampavajante, Vasudeva Savameti, Samahatma Sadulabaha. After many, many births and deaths, a wise man, a wise person, surrenders unto me, knowing very well that I, Vasudeva, am everything. Such a great soul is very rare. We can achieve whatever benediction we want simply by becoming devotees of Vasudeva. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Samakaya.
Chakshuram Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhairacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. A devotee of Lord Krishna, whose mind is always absorbed in Him, who with great attention and reverence chants this stotra, this prayer, will achieve the greatest perfection of life without delay. So the title of today's talk that I wanted to talk about was Achieve Whatever Benediction. Achieve whatever benediction. We're all striving for some sort of a benediction in our lives, something we want to achieve. For the materialist today, there's a great striving for achievement. They want a benediction. Does anybody know what that benediction for a materialist is today? To win a grand final. And people are absorbed in winning this amazing event. Momentous occasion where somebody, a team of two players with little shorts on, kick around a little plastic ball and get it between two posts. And this is a religion in Australia. This is probably the greatest religion in Australia. If you're not a supporter of football, then what are you? You're an atheist. In football, actually, you have the chant. They do exactly what we do. They have a chant. Every team has a particular chant. Good old Collingwood forever. So they chant this. They have a uniform. They wear the colours of their team. Actually, this morning when I was coming to the temple, I saw a Sikh man, you know, a person following the Sikh tradition. And he had a yellow and black turban on with Richmond on the top. I couldn't believe it. It was so funny. So they have their own association. They have their own sadhus. Those players that are expert in kicking this little plastic ball through the sticks. And you know that. So this is a great day for them. So the materialists, this is a very special day. So we wish them all the greatest benediction. But in the same token, the devotees are out there trying to also give them a much greater benediction. They're doing Harinam out the front of the MCG. The MCG is probably, they call it the Holy Grail. the sacred ground. They actually call it like that. But this stadium is the sacred ground of the MCG. So. Anyway, what do the devotees here think is the ultimate achievement that a devotee can make? The ultimate achievement. Anybody?
Love for Krishna.
Love for Krishna. Complete perfection of love for Krishna. To be a pure devotee is a perfect state. Just to be a pure devotee. But we can't mood make that situation. You know, we can't artificially do this. We have to sincerely be a lover of Krishna. And that takes practice. It takes practice. The first point that you have to do is you have to come to the point of surrender. Surrender is the very first point that you realize, yes, Krishna is a God. And then from there we start the work. It's not that automatically things start happening, but first we have to surrender. You have to come to this point. I really believe that Krishna is God. When we have that, then we start working on it. And that can be a gradual thing. And it's a thing that we have to consciously choose and work on every day. So it's not easy. It's a gradual process. It may take lifetimes. We have to come to this understanding. Prabhupada said, if you follow strictly, follow my instructions strictly, you will go back home, back to Godhead. You will achieve perfection. You will go to the spiritual world. You become a pure devotee. Prabhupada said, even in this life, and so, you know, we have that hope that if we work hard, but we are fallen conditioned souls with so much influence that from the material energy that, you know, this could be a gradual process for some people. And we have to think that, okay, well, perhaps it'll take a few lifetimes. We've already had a few lifetimes, but maybe it'll take something more. But in this, we don't have to be disturbed. Even if it is, Krishna guarantees us in Bhagavad Gita, even if we don't make it in this lifetime, eventually the best arrangements will be made for you. We understand that in Krishna consciousness we have a spiritual bank account. No one can rob this bank. This bank is ours. And every little effort that you put in to serve Krishna is recorded in this bank account. It's deposited. And so even we might not make it in this lifetime, eventually in the next lifetime, you will take off from where you left off. This is a wonderful thing. I was so blown out the other day where Devamrita Maharaj, His Holiness, was giving class, and he gave this report about this devotee that was passing away. Maharaj, did you hear this story? Maharaj was explaining that there was a devotee in Mayapur who was passing away, and he was a normal... Did you remember that one, Rasa?
Yeah.
He was a normal devotee, like any of us. No big time, no sannyasi. He was a grihastha, and he was living a life and serving very well. And two hours before he was going to pass away, and a friend of Devamrita Maharaj, another sannyasi, called him up to see how he was and offer his condolences and friendship. And the devotee got on the phone and he said, "This is nectar. This is so blissful." He said, "This is so wonderful." He said, "I feel so sorry for everybody that's left in this material world." 2 hours later, he passed away. This is the heritage. This is what's given to us by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. This is what it means to be a devotee. So I was just so impressed with that. So we have to deal with the onslaughts of the material energy while we're in this material body. And just recently we've had some devotees coming to us with some material problems. Problems will come. This is the material world. And problems will come. But what do we do about those problems? Do we harbour those problems? Do we harbour the things that are disturbing us? Or do we seek some advice? Find out. Most of the time, the devotees think, "Oh, my problem is so big, I can't tell anybody about my problem." And so they bottle it up, they hold it up, they don't tell anybody, and they go on. And unfortunately, then their Krishna consciousness starts to wane a little bit. But if they would have let it out and expressed their difficulties to other devotees, because materialism is there within us. We're conditioned souls. You know, a lot of things could be alleviated. So anyway, we've had that to deal with in the last couple of weeks. And one thing that always remains with me, which is so disturbing, there was one devotee here in Melbourne who harboured some deep disturbances, material disturbances. He was gay, he was homosexual, and he kept it to himself. He didn't want to express this to anyone. He didn't want to let anybody know. But the devotees kind of knew that he was gay. And some devotees mistreated him and derided him for being gay. Consequently, he ended up committing suicide. We could have helped him. We could have, you know, if he'd only opened up his heart. We were close to him. We were friends of his. But somehow or other he thought that problem was so big that he couldn't open up to somebody else. So I'm pleading with the devotees. "Hey, Rasa is back. Hare Krishna. Welcome back, Prabhu. My colleague in chaplaincy. We've missed you." So my plea is that devotees, please, if you have problems, seek somebody, anybody within this movement who you feel you can trust with confidentiality. Open up to them, allow them to hear your problems, and just by the fact that you open up and you allow, give someone else, tell someone else your difficulty, all of a sudden your problem becomes extreme, a lot less. And if a devotee in confidence, they won't be so shocked, because it's probably happened to them in their life. Especially if you go to an older devotee or someone and they say,
"Oh, Prabhu,
I don't know how to say this, but I've got this problem and that problem and that problem." And then the older Prabhu said, "Oh, that's nothing. Yeah, I had that a couple of years ago and that went away." And then the devotee goes, "Oh, really?" I said, "Yeah, yeah, most of the devotees have had that problem and it goes away after a period of time." And all of a sudden, this problem that was so pent up in their head, thinking, "I'm the only fallen soul, I'm the only one that thinks this, I'm the only one that has this difficulty," all of a sudden he realizes, "Hey, hang on a tick. Everybody, well, so lots of people have this difficulty," and they're able to make the adjustment. So Rupa Goswami says that we have to seek the shelter of someone in confidence, another devotee in confidence. Someone that is your friend, someone that you can trust, to not spread the rumor or anything. And thereby you start to advance and grow. And our devotees in ashrams, in all the different ashrams, whether it's Grihastha ashram or even the sannyas ashram or the, you know, the brahmachari ashram, if you have a problem, you have to seek someone who will help you and then alleviate that problem. And it's the duty, actually, of the older devotees to actually be there for the younger devotees. That's our job. That's our job, is to be there. We are the guardians. You know, when we first came to Krishna consciousness, there was no one older. And we had kind of had to figure this thing out for ourselves, you know. And it was difficult. I remember one time, before I was a devotee, my father was very, what do you call it, paternal, very demanding, a very heavy father figure, dominating, you know, patriarchal. And I couldn't stand the way that he was treating my mother, you know, the way he was very dominant and, you know, "You do this and you do that," like that. I couldn't stand it as a young man. But when I first came to Krishna consciousness, due to pressures from different devotees or my own self thinking that this is the way I should do it, and the influence of perhaps, you know, some devotees that were a little bit dominating their wives or whatever, I started to dominate my wife and become also very a dominating person. And all of a sudden I realized, I said, "My God, I'm becoming like my father." And I broke down. I actually broke down. My wife can attest to this. I actually had this. And I cried and I cried and I cried. I couldn't believe it. And then I started to talk to other devotees and older devotees that I trusted. Not that old. They were a couple of years older. But, you know, Prabhupada disciples. And they sort of steered me to the right direction. So we have to seek out somebody that will help us, and the older devotees are there to help us. That's our job. Especially now, Krishna consciousness is so well placed that we have this hierarchy of devotees, and we should do that. So Prabhupada gives the analogy that material desires and material permutations will constantly come into our life. But as a devotee, Prabhupada gives the analogy that we should be like an ocean, because there may be torrents of rain in monsoons and everything, and rivers flood into the ocean, but the ocean remains equipoised and always filled to exactly the same. So for us as a devotee, there may be so many different problems and enticements and material things, but we have to remain equipoised. And how do we become equipoised? How can we remain this ocean? By sticking rigorously to our rounds, to our sadhana, to the principles, to the program, and service. This is our duty. So sometimes also we have to be careful of fanaticism in that, even. So we have to actually judge how I'm doing things. Ultimately, Prabhupada said that you are flying your own plane. The guru, the sadhus, senior devotees are there to guide us, but ultimately you have to fly your own plane. But these things of rounds, principles, program, and service are really our lifeblood. When we talk about programs, it doesn't necessarily... Sometimes there's this misconception, thinking that, you know, unless I go to Mangalarti at the temple, I am in Maya. It's not true. Prabhupada said, if you live far away, you have Mangalarti in your home. The fact is, you have to have a Mangalarti program, or at least rise early and make prayers to Krishna, understanding that, my dear Lord, today is your day, I want to serve you. If you live close to the temple, yeah, that's fine. But if you push too much to try and make it to Melbourne Temple, when you're living far away, that can cause a lot of disturbance. So you have to think, is this, you can do it a couple of times, but perhaps not every day. Sometimes people are doing coming to Mangalarti, and they have work. And so, you know, then the rounds suffer. And some devotees have to chant their rounds in their car while they're driving or in their train. That's not the best idea. It's best if we can have our rounds, if we can chant in a really meditative mood within the devotees or at home, and set up a situation where you can chant in a very meditative mood. So in all ways we have to remain equipoised. Remain fully absorbed. No hankering or lamenting. You know, and this is a thing that I've mentioned before, you know, there is a great thing about hankering and lamenting. Always thinking something will be better in the future, or lamenting about things, something that's happened in the past. There is this movement now in today's society, the whole Be Here Now movement. Actually, we can apply it in Krishna consciousness just to be really conscious of always being present and thinking about Krishna at every time. Actually, everything was interesting. I was listening to a class and it was explained that everything is kirtan. Everything that a devotee does is kirtan, is glorification of Krishna. You know, not just kirtan and not just chanting, but everything we do. Taking prasadam is kirtan because it's related to Krishna. Doing our service is related to Krishna. So everything is kirtan.
Do you read Prabhupada's
books? Yeah, reading Srila Prabhupada's books. So, surrendering is the beginning point. We make a conscious choice that, yes, I believe in Krishna. The choice of sense gratification is always there, but we must follow the footsteps of the great personalities and progress in the Krishna consciousness and see how they progressed in Krishna consciousness. When we have that, then we actually feel enlivened. When we read the Shastra and we read about devotees and their struggle with material life and then how they conquer it, that enthuses us and keeps us going. Even local devotees. We should look at our local congregation, look at our friends, and see how they're progressing in Krishna consciousness. You know? So many different people are making such advancement, you know? It's wonderful for a devotee to watch a person first come to Krishna consciousness, and then they take initiation, and then all of a sudden they're giving a class, And you're so proud of them to see that growth happening. It's just a wonderful thing. Personally, we had a wonderful program last night with Sagar Maharaj. We had an interfaith program. Now, I've known Maharaj since he was a brahmachari. We worked together on some interfaith projects and stuff. Now, after Maharaj gave the class, I was so astounded by your advancement. I was just so astounded, it overwhelmed me, you know. And this is so wonderful to see how a devotee, and that gives me strength to think that we can actually grow in Krishna consciousness. And we see it so often in different devotees, Matajis that sort of all of a sudden become really shastrically astute. So this is a wonderful thing. They have no personal interest except for Krishna. All they do is focus on Krishna. So as conditioned souls, under the influence of Maya at times, and at other times we're under the influence of the spiritual energy, the internal energy of the Lord. So we have to change from the material energy to the spiritual energy at all times. We have to keep on trying to be part of that spiritual energy. Sometimes, you know, it's difficult sometimes. It can be difficult. The material world is a hard place. It's a difficult place. There is incredible enticements out there, but somehow we have to stay strong, and we have to change that influence. So, identifying as a devotee is very important in that. You know, identifying that we are a devotee. and making that statement that, yes, I am a servant of Krishna. So one of the things that is really important in the morning, before we do anything, is we offer our obeisances to Krishna, recognizes that, yes, but my Lord, I surrender to you. And then we put on tilak. Tilak is a very important thing. It's a very important meditation. Sometimes devotees start to neglect doing this process of putting on tilak, thinking, well, I've got to go to work, I won't put on tilak. Tilak is identifying that this body is a temple of God. And by anointing this body, it reminds us that we are a temple of God. Now, sometimes people say, yeah, well, I have that situation too when I'm dealing with Western people. Sometimes they don't understand the tilak, you know. Especially me, I'm a hot-blooded sort of person, and half the time the tilak starts to flake off, and people start to look at me and think, what the heck has he got on his forehead? So if you're in a work situation, Prabhupada said you simply put water tilak on. The forehead can be a water tilak. Nobody else sees the tilak on your body. But it's important for you to actually have that consciousness every morning that I am a devotee of Krishna. And in this day that Krishna has given me, I will serve him. So this is important. And then also identifying with our clothing. We don't necessarily have to have devotional clothing all the time, but at certain times it is important that we actually wear the clothing of a sadhu, either in a sari or a dhoti or kurta or like that. Again, I mentioned once before in my interfaith dealings, if I don't wear devotional clothes, people don't take me seriously. And some of the members of different faith traditions say, oh, why aren't you dressed in your proper clothes? What's happening to you? So they become really perplexed. And then if I wear a kurta and just say bhakta pants or something, oh, everything is okay. Bhakta is back, okay. So especially my Buddhist friend, there's one Buddhist friend, he's shaved head, he's always with Western man, but a Buddhist. And when he sees me sometimes, you know, after I've done chaplaincy, I wear Western clothes. And he said, oh, I'm really disappointed, you know. You don't look spiritual at all, you know. But clothing is not the only thing, you know. We can dress as saris and dhotis and everything and think that we are devotees. But it's more than that. It's a question of consciousness. Wearing the dhoti and sari is not enough. We have to really live the spiritual experience as well and become influenced by that spiritual internal energy of Krishna. So Maharaj was explaining yesterday, I have to say, Maharaj, some of the classes you've been giving have been fantastic. Although I've not been here, everybody can attest to it. I've watched it on video, and it's so far out that we get this now, you know, that for older people like me, when it's really hard to get from the western suburbs to here every day to hear your classes, that we can just go into our comfy lounge room and switch on, hey, there's Maharaj, you know, and a wonderful class. I have to really appreciate that. So
not as good as yours.
Oh, get out. Here we go again. You can see he's a friend, right? So Maharaj was explaining how in today's society we are actually devolving, not becoming evolving, because there are such enticements. And Prabhupada's quote is, they do not know the real interests. And in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada quotes this verse in the Bhagavatam, 7531. And when you look up that purport that Prabhupada gives there, there's some interesting things that I just wanted to read to you. Prabhupada says, generally speaking, practically everyone is unaware of the spiritual world. Practically speaking, everyone is unaware of the spiritual world. He says that the knowledge of the materialist is restricted within the 4 billion mile limit of this material world. It's just this. Which is in the dark portion of creation. They do not know that beyond the material world is a spiritual world. Unless one is a devotee of the Lord, one cannot understand the existence of the spiritual world. Modern society is in some ways slipping into more and more ignorance. And yet, in other ways, by the influence of the devotees, Actually, things are changing. Maharaj was pointing that out yesterday. This society is so stupid sometimes, you know, with irrelevant knowledge, weird knowledge. Did you know that in today's society there are more criminals than there ever was? More criminals. And the stupid thing is that they put on shows on TV, like somebody may have seen CSI, you know, how they... CSI is like a show where they show you how the criminals have done a particular crime. So the criminals are sitting at home going, aha, if I don't do that, then I can get away with the crime. So now there are crimes committed where the police have no idea how to find the actual criminal, because they're so adept at actually manipulating the evidence. You know, they wear gloves, they put on, you know, the whole thing. And that's because they've been showing them on TV how you be a good criminal. So this is our society. So there are more criminals than ever before. The world is such a strange place, you know, we make such a big deal about slavery from the past. You know, how slavery was such a bad thing, and in today's society there is no slavery. Did you know that in our society today, in the world today, there is more slavery than there's ever been on this planet? They say an estimate of 40 million people are slaves in this world. In the past, you could buy a person's body for a couple of $1,000. You know how much a body costs nowadays? That you can buy a body? $200. And you have a slave for the rest of your life. These are things that are going on in this material world. And the injustice that's happening to Bhumi Devi, you know, to the Earth planet, with global warming and pollution. Everybody was aware that young girl, the 16-year-old girl, Greta Thunberg, who made that presentation. Everybody aware of this? This little girl who sees the struggle of the global warming and the politicians are completely ignoring it, made this presentation, an impassioned plea to the world, please do something for our children, for us, you know, to save the world. And she's been criticized from uphill to downdale. Now, these are material problems that won't be solved by a material means. As much as we admire this young girl trying to change, we have to tackle these problems from a spiritual point of view. From a spiritual point of view. And they're forgetting that spiritual connection. So this is the job of the devotees. Prabhupada says it's impossible to become satisfied by trying to adjust the external material nature. It's impossible to become satisfied. Material problems, one problem creates another problem. One material problem creates another material problem. The classic example was here in Australia. We made such a mess of this environment here because of one problem making another problem. When the colonialists first came to Australia, they were really missing fox hunting and rabbit hunting. They really thought, oh, like the kangaroos are not so much fun. We need rabbits and we need foxes. So they introduced foxes and rabbits into this country, which destroyed the native fauna, and rabbits populated everything. So then they said, how do we get rid of the rabbits? And then they introduced this myxomatosis that will kill the rabbits, and one problem after the other. Then they also introduced, there was some bug in the sugar cane up north where they grow the sugar cane, and this bug was there, or some little creature was there. And they said, we need something to counteract it. So they got these frogs from South America, these cane toads. And now the cane toads are spreading all over Australia. And they don't know what to do with it. Sometimes you go up north. Have you seen that when you go up north? There are like hundreds of these cane toads all over the place. Amazing. So one problem leads to another problem. But when we put Krishna in the center, all problems can be solved. All problems can be solved. It's simply understanding that the Lord is the personality behind everything. And if we are devotees of the Lord, things can be solved. Prabhupada gives this example again in Bhagavatam here. When we put Krishna in the center, Bhavanam Jamanamante, that verse from Bhagavad Gita 7:19. The purport again in this is really interesting. The living entity, while executing devotional service or transcendental rituals after many, many births, so again, understanding it may not happen in the one birth, may actually become situated in transcendental, pure knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of self-realization. So Prabhupada says, that's it. You have to understand that. In the beginning of spiritual realization, while one is trying to give up one's attachment to materialism, there is some leaning towards impersonalism. But when one is further advanced, he can understand that there is activities in the spiritual life, and these activities constitute devotional service. Realizing this, he becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrenders to him. At such a time, one can understand that Lord Sri Krishna's mercy is everything, that he is the cause of all causes, and that in this material manifestation is not independent from him. He realizes the material world to be a perverted reflection of the spiritual variegatedness, and realizes that everything there is in relationship with the Supreme Lord. Thus, he thinks of everything in relation to Vasudeva or Sri Krishna. Such a universal vision of Vasudeva precipitates one's full surrender to the Supreme Lord Krishna as the highest goal. Such great souls are very rare. So this is it. Be a rare soul. All of us sitting here are one of the many rare souls on this planet. We have to actually take into account that we are so privileged as devotees to have this knowledge. To have this knowledge in full, you know, to actually be able to experience this knowledge, to be actually able to feel the growth of spiritual knowledge as well. A rare soul. Last night we had a wonderful interfaith program. It wasn't that much. There was only a couple of people from interfaith, but Maharaj gave this talk to a group of people. And they were really nice people, but we could see actually that there is a limit to their understanding of spirituality. Maharaj was pointing out how Krishna is so merciful that he gives a certain amount of information at different levels of a person's evolution. And we saw that. But the devotees are just such rare individuals that they have this opportunity to know Krishna in full, not partial, absolutely in full, every aspect of Krishna. So surrendering to that is the first point, and then we have to make conscious choices at every moment. We have to actually consciously choose, yes, I want to be a devotee. Yes, I want to be a devotee. And that comes over time with practice. And we gain the greatest benediction. So that greatest benediction is, yes, to serve the Lord. So while there is this stage between not completely in the divine protection and still somewhat in the grip of Maya, not completely aware of our position, we're trying to be aware of the moment by moment of our spiritual nature and our connection with Krishna, sometimes there is difficulty. What do we do? What do we do? As advised in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we pray. We pray. We literally pray. We cry out to Krishna. The greatest prayer that we all know is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's a prayer of deliverance. It's a cry out to the Lord. I am in this miserable condition. I am so fallen still. I still have so many material attachments. You know, but by please, my dear Lord, I want to serve you. I want you to guide me and direct me. So this praying is an important part in our lives. So the greatest prayer, as I said, is the Maha Mantra, to be able to chant this Maha Mantra in a prayerful mood. And I can't reiterate enough, I'm preaching to myself, that we have to really be attentive, be in the moment at that time when we're chanting. So you have to make as much arrangements as you can to really get the greatest benefit from your chanting. To really be aware, okay, now is my time to be in this moment. No hankering, no lamenting, no thinking about things that are going to happen in the past, in the future, or things that have happened in the past. No contemplating different material desires that we have in our bodies, but just focusing on the holy name and praying with the Lord that please give me the realization to understand who I really am. When that happens, it's really fulfilling. Then, in the same token, we can use the prayers of other great acharyas, like Lord Shiva, as it's recommended in this purport, that we read this prayer of Lord Shiva, that we read the prayers of Lord Brahma. That's why Lord Chaitanya found it so important, the prayers of Lord Brahma, the Brahma Samhita. When we read the prayers of Brahma Samhita, when we do deity worship, those are the prayers that we enunciate to the deities. That's the purificatory mantras that we use, glorifying. So it's Brahma's prayers. Then there's also the opportunity for us to actually compose our own prayers. That's important as well. We have to really focus sometimes and create our own prayers. And in some ways just really analyze what is the things that are disturbing me at this point in time and how can I actually overcome these difficulties. And when you write it down, then you actually get meaning to it and depth to it. So this is a very, very important, and this is what this section of Srimad Bhagavatam is continually pointing out to us, the importance of prayer. Our life, in fact, should be a constant prayer, constant kirtan, as was mentioned earlier. Hare Krishna Maharaj. How we actually look after each other, you know, and how we develop this prayerful mood. Sometimes when I do chaplaincy, I'm asked to say a prayer for people. And you notice the power of prayer when you're in a situation like that, when you do chaplaincy. And sometimes what I do, which I ask permission, but one of the things we do is we lay hands on a person. So you place your hand either in their hand or you place it on their head and you pray. And you sincerely connect with Lord Krishna and you, in your own way you pray, this person is here before me, I wish them well, I hope they can overcome their illness. Now these people have no connection to Krishna consciousness usually, but they're so appreciative of the prayers that you're offering for them. There was one time recently which was really sad. A lady had a stillborn baby and the family was distraught, you know. And so first I had to offer prayers to the lady who had the baby, and she was consoled by those prayers, and then the father, and then they said, would you do me a favor and go to the morgue where this little baby was. And this little baby was no more than about this big, you know, sweet little baby, just laying there. And so I placed tulsi leaf on her and Ganges water and also Vrindavan dust, and then prayed for the little girl. And you can feel the potency of prayer when you're in those situations, you know. So prayer is of the utmost importance in our lives. And every moment should be a point of prayer for us in our service and in our sadhana. So today's verse was, a devotee of Lord Krishna whose mind is always absorbed in him, who with great attention and reverence chants this stotra, this prayer, will achieve the greatest perfection of life without delay. We already have that perfection. We're here. Now we just have to... We've been given the greatest gift already. Srila Prabhupada has handed this to us in a silver platter. It's just whether we want to take it wholeheartedly, grab it with full hands and accept it, or we still flounder a little bit and still in both. We're in that in-between section between internal energy and Maya. So we sort of dabble like that. So be enthusiastic in your Krishna consciousness. Be like these football players today that are out there. Yay! Be like that for Krishna consciousness. Be enthusiastic for Krishna consciousness. Present Krishna consciousness to others and watch them grow. The growth of someone that you've introduced to Krishna consciousness is the greatest satisfaction that a person can have. There's no greater happiness that you can achieve when you see someone growing in Krishna consciousness. You know, when you see somebody blossoming as a really good devotee. It's so thrilling for an older devotee to see younger devotees coming up. You know, when they first come here, and then slowly, slowly they grow into blossoming to these really fine devotees. It's just absolutely amazingly fulfilling. And don't be too perplexed about material energy. Prabhupada was never too perplexed. You know, there was this story about Upendra. Upendra was Srila Prabhupada's servant, you know. And Upendra was really a young devotee, but he was servant of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was asked him, Upendra, I want you to go to the shops and pick up this and this and this. And Upendra said, yes, Prabhupada, he went. So then he went to the shops and he came back and he said, Prabhupada, I was so disturbed. Prabhupada said, what's wrong? He said, when I went to the shop, there was this beautiful woman, and I became attracted to this beautiful woman. Prabhupada said, oh? And he said, yeah, she's just been on my mind all the while. And he said, Prabhupada said, so? Did you accomplish your mission? And Upendra said, yes. He said, you've accomplished your mission. You did what I asked you to do. You did the shopping, you brought it back. Material energy was there, but you accomplished your mission. You're back here. So this is the point that we have to remember. Prabhupada is so merciful. Yes, we may be enticed by material energy, but if we follow our mission and come back to Krishna consciousness, everything will be alright. Everything will be alright. So, it was a late night last night. You have to forgive my class today. I'm a bit tired, but are there any questions or comments at all, Prabhu? Yes, Prabhu?
You may be tired, but you gave a very nice class. Thank you. You said that criminal activity is more, but I thought intoxication was more in Australia.
Sorry?
Intoxication was more than criminal activity. So can you give us observation about intoxication is more, intoxicants?
Oh, intoxicants are rife. And the horrible thing about it is that it influences young people. So devotees have to be out there offering an alternative to intoxicants. There are even devotees that have problems with intoxication. You know? Yeah? Don't be surprised. There are devotees that have still either painkillers or other intoxicants like marijuana or smoking or whatever. There are devotees that have that difficulty. I remember before I was a devotee, I mean, I couldn't give up smoking for the life of me. I tried all different sorts of things. It was only Krishna consciousness that I could give up smoking. It's amazing.
I remember a devotee. He was very sincere in service, but he was lost money all the time.
Yeah.
And ultimately, he died suicide.
Again, and he didn't talk to someone. You have to reveal your mind to different devotees. You have to open up, and it's not like you make a blatant sort of advertisement about it. You just take a devotee to the side and say, Prabhu, would you mind having a talk with me? And then in confidence, you trust that person. They're not going to tell anybody else, but we're so frightened of that. And then when we hold it in ourselves, then it festers. You know, when you have an illness, the Prabhupada said, you know, the boil, you know, if you hold it, it just festers. So sometimes by telling your problem to someone else, you lance the boil and it's gone. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu? Sorry? Sometimes the Hindu community asks that I do the first stanza of the Gayatri, Om Bhubhu Vasvah, like that, because that's known to all of them. But otherwise it's an internal prayer. And of course, the Maha Mantra. Same as Rasa. Rasa does that also. Sometimes we chant around. They really appreciate that. So you just sit with people and just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then you try to encourage them also. You can also chant. Sometimes we have little bhajan. You know, when I have my utility belt, my Batman belt, you know, I've got all my chaplaincy things in there. I bring out, you know, the Ganges water, spray everybody with Ganges water, and then I have little cartels and I can just chant a little bit. But other times it's, you know, other times, if they're, say, for example, unconscious, I could read passages from the Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. So there's different things. But other times I just pray. I just ask Krishna, my dear Lord, here I am with this person. I have no idea who this person is, but somehow or other I'm linked with this person because I'm here giving your mercy to them. I'm your vehicle in this instance. Please allow them your mercy. Whatever you have in store for them, may they be Krishna conscious. You know? And so I pray like that. Whatever the time. At whatever time. Yes, Rasa. Oh, yeah.
I remember there was one child, they told me, to go home, and I went there, and the child could decide at any moment, so I took the gallons, I took the water, and everything. I took my Bhagavad Gita, and I gave the parents to do everything, to put the gallons on the child, to, and give them to you, and if he used the body, to put in the mouth.
Mm.
And I told them to read Bhagavad Gita 8th chapter. And they were reading 8 chapter, and I told them to read all the time to change, because there was like parents, grandparents, there were a lot of people, and I told them to change 8 chapter, which says what we need to do at the moment of death.
Mm.
And I think that really, really helped them become aware how much they do for the child. And then they called me and they wanted to come to the temple. And I, when I was trying to see them, I made up like a serious face, you know, because their child just died. And when they approached me, they were smiling. And I was like, I was really surprised. But it seems like in all that difficulty, they were happy because they did the best what they can do for child. And they thought they helped this child
attain
the best destination it could have been. And there was one boy who was in coma. He had a heart problem. And I went to him home, whatever I did, and I told his brother and family that I can put all the time the Prabhupada chanting when they pull out all the... All the, this... and they were chanting with me, they were reading Bhagavad Gita, we were talking. It's really a lot of opportunities in hospitals.
Ah, yeah.
It's most critical for people at the moment of death, or, you know,
yeah.
Very, very important.
I had one the other day, last week. There was this old man, and he was in ICU, which is intensive care. And he had tubes going in every part of his body. You know? This old Indian man, he was just lying there. And the nurse was there, and he was just emptying some fluid that had been passing out of his body. You know? And I came in, and I said, I'm the chaplain here. Can I help? I'd like to have some time with this patient, you know. So the patient was unconscious at that time. So I just started saying some prayers, right, for this person. And then he opened his eyes. And so I said, I've got a gift for you. I've got Bhagavad Gita from Hare Krishna. And he took the book. He had never come to the temple. He was just an Indian man. And he took the book and he placed it on his chest and a big smile on his face. And he fell back asleep. But just that's small period of time, when I started to pray for him, his eyes opened up, gave him the Gita, his eyes closed. So that's just, you know, this is, that's what I'm saying, you know, to put ourselves in positions where we actually preach to people, where we actually reach out to people, where we actually, this material world is such a rotten place. And we all have opportunities to actually give people that opportunity for Krishna consciousness. We are the rare souls. Prabhupada said, you know, Samahatma Sadulabaha, you know, we are them. And we have to reach out to other people to give that knowledge to them as well. That's the urgency. And Krishna consciousness is the answer to all the different problems in the world today, through criminality, for drug abuse, for the environment, everything. You can see that there is a plan that we, if they would just simply be Krishna conscious, there's so many different things that we could do. Any other comments? Maharaj, you had a question.
Yeah, thank you, Guru. I was also thinking that if devotees could actually start actively helping people to solve their problems with spiritual solutions, they could actually make that into their business and maintain themselves rather than having work which is not to Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're absolutely right. And we see that all the time in interfaith work. That's the other area. You know, just by associating with the devotee, like say for example, last night we had this program and people had the association of Maharaj. And Maharaj was presenting the Krishna conscious point of view to as far as our connection with interfaith and what Krishna consciousness is about. So these people in this lifetime may not accept because they're rigidly attached to their particular faith tradition, but by association with devotees, like that lady that was from the Baha'i community, she was astounded by Maharaj's kirtan and was just, she couldn't stop praising you for the kirtan, remember? Oh, that was, I felt vibration in my body and everything she was saying. So they may not give up that religious principle, that religious process in this lifetime, but definitely in the next lifetime they'll get a greater opportunity to become closer to Krishna. And that's the same with all of us. People that we meet, if we present Krishna consciousness to them, by your example, by your enthusiasm, by your generosity and by your compassion, they will be attracted to you and want what you've got. And it may not be in this lifetime, but definitely at the next lifetime, they'll take off from there. So this is really everybody's opportunity. Yes, Prabhu?
You were telling about that stillborn baby girl.
Yeah.
What sort of prayers do you give?
Sort of... They were internal prayers. I prayed to the Lord that, my Lord, you know, this girl may have only to be here on this planet for a very short time before she goes back home, back to Godhead. She may have only have been, this was the last sojourn for this girl, but whatever, may Krishna bless her and look after her, and in the next life, wherever she has to go, can Krishna protect her and make her a devotee. It's always the same prayer, may you come to Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So Prabhu, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada, Bhyantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.